It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Amid a partisan clash on Capitol Hill over how to fund the government, deal with the border crisis, and military aid in the world, we hear from Democratic Congressman Mark Pocan of Wisconsin, and you have a line. Call in with a question, share comments, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Mark Pocan represents the state's 2nd congressional district, including Madison, Reedsburg, and Dodgeville. Representative Pocan, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me, Kate. Appreciate it.
Let's start with the impeachment of the Republican-controlled House impeaching Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. The vote marked the first time a cabinet member has been impeached in over a century. You voted against it. Why?
Well, there was no reason to vote for it. That's why we haven't impeached a cabinet secretary in so long. It should be for wrongdoing, and there's nothing that's, you know, been done specifically wrong by this secretary. People just don't agree with policies, and bluntly, they wanted to make it a political issue. This is going nowhere in the Senate. This is what the House does these days. We can't pass a budget, but we censure members and we try to impeach people because that's all they're capable of. The Republican majority can't put bills on the floor that we actually have to pass. That's why we only passed 27 bills the entire last session. It's a pretty dark period right now in the House of Representatives.
So the Associated Press reporting that Majority Whip Representative Steve Scalise says impeachment sends a message for Mayorkas to do his job. What is your reaction to that?
No, this is a campaign message. I mean, you know, there was a bipartisan agreement moving through the Senate to deal with the border. And Donald Trump said, no, because I need this for an issue in November. And every Republican rolled over and had their belly rubbed over this idea. So when we have an opportunity to do something, because Congress is the one who actually has to act, we have to change the laws. It's things the president can't do unilaterally. We are choosing not to now, even though there was a bipartisan group working on this in the Senate. So, you know, all of this is a bunch of ways to try to say there's a problem, but God forbid we would ever try to solve that problem.
So House Speaker Mike Johnson calling this bipartisan border security bill circling the Senate dead on arrival should it reach the House. What are your thoughts there? Does the country need tighter border security?
Yeah, I mean, the bill is absolutely dead on arrival because there's no way to revive it at this point. So it is done. So just like the first 2 years of the Trump presidency when he had a Republican House and Senate and they did nothing about the border, we're doing nothing about the border again. And to be fair, Congresses for the last 2 decades, Democratic and Republican, have not addressed this issue, sometimes for rules of the Senate and all the rest. But we do need to do things at the border, including extra protections, including a pathway to citizenship for aspiring Americans. When I first got to Congress in 2013, there was a bipartisan bill that went through the Senate with 68 votes, which is kind of unheard of these days. That would be a really great basis to start over from. But it is up to Congress to deal with this because we have to pass the actual statutes, the laws. And right now it looks like we're giving up for the session on this.
What does the House want in an alternative proposal?
Well, that's the thing, is they don't really want an alternative proposal. They want to make sure that we can complain about this till November and then somehow say it's Joe Biden's fault. I think the American people are smarter because they do realize it's Congress's fault. We haven't dealt with this. We just had an opportunity. We turned it down. And, you know, it's a lot of electioneering and very little action.
And in the same week, the Senate, you know, clears a $95 billion military aid package for Ukraine, Taiwan, and Israel. What is your position on this package?
Well, we think that it should be able to come up in the House. And I think there's some conversations about, can we try to do it in a way that maybe breaks it up so that people could have a vote on individual items? I mean, for example, I think, you know, Ukraine, I would guess, would have over 300 votes in the House, virtually every Democrat, and probably close to a majority of Republicans. Israel probably would have a lot of votes like that as well, although there are some of us, myself included, that think there should be some conditions on that aid, given how money has been spent on weaponry that's killed people in Gaza. And then, you know, I think the humanitarian aid actually could be tougher. There's a number of Republicans who don't believe in humanitarian aid, yet that $10 billion is going to help rebuild places like Ukraine and Gaza. So I think that's the question. Is there a way to make it still be have a life in the House, perhaps by breaking it up? And then it might be individual votes. But it is ironic that the one thing that didn't survive because of the Republicans was the funding for security at the border. That is not in the bill because they would not allow even that piece of it to move forward.
Let's bring on a call now, Nate in Milwaukee. Nate, hi, go ahead.
Hi, thank you for having me. I think that we probably ought to thank Mitch McConnell for getting the aid to Ukraine through the Senate like he did in what is actually a bipartisan fashion. If we complain about all the partisanship, I'd point out that Ukraine has been winning most of the struggles of this war, where most Ukrainian offensives are successes, most Russian offensives are failures. But the only thing protecting Ukrainian cities and towns is the Ukrainian military, and they're running low on ammo, and Russia is basically trying to get certain people in the U.S. government to hand them a victory that they would not otherwise be able to get. And to save Ukrainian lives, we've actually got to get the ammo to them. And is there perhaps a way to go around the speaker, who seems dead set on actually helping people who I think deserve the help?
Nate, thanks for the call. Wondering, is there any maneuvering that could bypass Speaker Mike Johnson and force consideration of the bill on the House floor?
Yeah, Nate, there's really only one way to do that. That's the power of being in the majority party. You decide what's hitting the floor. They've kind of shot themselves in both feet over some rules they put in place that make it harder to do that. That's why we've been so ineffective in getting anything through the House. But there is a process called a discharge petition. If 218 members of Congress, which is a majority of the body, sign a discharge petition, you can force a vote. The difficulty is it's often considered a procedural vote by political leadership. So even if a Republican supports funding for Ukraine, it's very much frowned upon by their leadership, and that would probably mean Donald Trump if they would sign that discharge petition. So I think the goal will be, if that is the only way to move forward, I think virtually, well, I shouldn't say it. I think a lot of Democrats would sign it. Depends if there's ability to break the votes up a little bit. The question is, can they get maybe 30 Republicans to do that? I think that's the very discussion we're in right now.
How much pressure is time here? I mean, Nate brought up it is critical as you know, troops run out of supplies, out of weaponry. Meanwhile, you know, House is in recess until what, the 28th. Is that it?
Yeah, I mean, this is normal though. President's Week. I don't think I've ever been in. We are allowed to occasionally get back to our districts because it's good to connect with your districts. In fact, I would argue one of the things that helps us get things done in Washington more than anything is when we do get back home and our constituents say, get to work, right? I think that often helps to kind of charge us a little bit. Part of why we're back on the 28th of February is we also have the funding deadlines of government on March 1 and March 8. So we've got that to do as well. I think the real issue here is just if Republican leadership is refusing to put this on the floor, the discharge petition process takes about a month. I mean, there's nothing you could do. If we were in next week, we could be there every day for a photo op, but it wouldn't change the timeline that it takes to do a discharge petition. It has started. So the clock is working to our advantage. The real question is why the House Republican leadership is so adamantly against funding a sovereign nation that was invaded by Russia. And I think that's a question for the ages.
We discussed developments on Capitol Hill with Mark Pocan, Democratic representative from Wisconsin's 2nd Congressional District. Call in to field questions, share comments at any point, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. We'll be right back. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. As Congress faces critical issues, we check in with Democratic Congressman Mark Pocan of Wisconsin. Call in with a question. You can share your thoughts at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Mike in Watertown is here. Mike, go ahead.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. As our nation once again suffers and Americans are terrorized by public shootings, Congressman, what I would like from you is 50 words stating the Democratic policy towards gun safety laws, and none of those 50 words can include ban or background checks that have been a failed policy for 30 years now. If you don't have the 50 words, the nation has, or the station has, my number.
Mike, thank you for the call and addressing gun safety, Congressman. Such a top priority here as we see the losses in Kansas City.
Yeah, and, you know, I think what Mike is trying to do, unfortunately, is oversimplifying it. You know, people who talk through Twitter or think you can say things in 50 words that we obviously haven't solved as a country is part of the problem. You know, we do have a problem with gun violence in this country. Quite simply, there are very popular solutions that are out there, like background checks, including for people who don't buy from gun shops. Those folks already have a background check. So that's something you can do. I think some of us would ban assault weapons, which certainly would help, since most of the mass killings are happening from that. But there can be an intelligent debate that should happen. The problem is the NRA, as a special interest, has so much influence in Washington and, quite honestly, in Madison, that it's hard to get to that, I think, common sense place we need to. And, you know, all we ever have are moments of silence on the floor of Congress, not moments of action. And that's a real problem.
Let's turn to budget now. One prediction market giving roughly 15% chance that the government shuts down in early March. Can Congress prevent a looming partial government March shutdown?
You know, the House Republicans kind of shot themselves, as I said, in both feet by early last year. They changed the rules. And for anything to come to the floor of Congress, it has to have the votes from the Republicans first. They can't come and get Democratic votes. It's stupid, but it's the rules they put in place. And that's why we're unable to do anything. So even when it comes to the budget, they have to ideally have their votes. That's not going to happen because they have enough members and you only need less than a handful now to disagree that it won't work. So at some point, they'll have to come and get our votes, probably for a continuing resolution, because they have not obviously solved the problem. And then they'll likely, or very likely could be, another vote to vacate the chair because of, again, how the Republicans operate. I can't speak for anything that they've done other than if I had to bet, if I were sitting at a Vegas counter right now and they actually had a bet as ridiculous as whether or not Congress can get something done, I would bet we'll have a continuing resolution yet again, because we have not resolved the difference between the House and the Senate on the budget to actually be able to vote on a final bill.
So if Congress continues to fund the government through continuing resolution, is there enough money to be able to do the policy changes that Republicans are seeking for security on the southern border?
Well, and see, that's the irony, right? With a continuing resolution, you're funding everything the same. So you fund bad ideas the same level. You fund good ideas the reduced level that whatever they're currently at. And you certainly don't do new policy because you're just continuing, you're treading water. So that's why it's not an ideal solution at all. But in a Congress that, you know, can't operate because of the rules that they're living by, the House Republican majority, that may be the best scenario you can get.
Are there policy provisions within these spending bills that you are either very much for or against?
Oh, a million of them. I serve on the Appropriations Committee. Mm-hmm. I would love us to do our jobs, right? I mean, I think we've all seen the Saturday morning cartoon of how a bill becomes a law. It would be so nice if that happened again. There are 12 appropriation bills we should be passing. But this year, Republicans, for example, on the agricultural appropriations bill, cut funding 41%. I mean, obviously, that's a ridiculous amount. It's not even manageable. But that's the kind of games that they played. And that's why we still don't have a budget. So it's very frustrating because this is the one thing that I do. I think the one bill that's supposed to pass when you can have fights over everything else is a budget. But now, we can't even get the House budget done.
talking with Democratic Congressman Mark Pocan of Wisconsin. Your thoughts and questions along the way, 800-642-1234. Sean in Oshkosh is here. Sean, hi.
Yes, hello. Thank you for getting me in. My statement is very simple. We have had multiple decades which do nothing except exemplify the failure of representational democracy. It is time for us as Americans to enforce and choose our right to have direct democracy. I do not see any other solution to partisanship.
Sean, thanks for the call. Congressman, what is your solution to this gridlock?
Yeah, I mean, the solution to the gridlock, bluntly, in my opinion, is when Donald Trump's out of the picture, I think things will get more normal again. There is no other figure in the Republican Party that's as strong. You know, it's really almost become cult-like with Donald Trump. And there are many reasonable Republicans that I've worked with over 30 years of being in local, state, and federal government that I can work with again. But right now, they're silenced by the way Trump operates. If they speak out different than him, they get primaried or they have to not run for reelection. And I think once we can get to into a place where Donald Trump, you know, whose fame is from Celebrity Apprentice, is not the largest political figure in a major political party, I think we'll be much better off.
Very quickly, in our last few moments together, what is your priority during this House recess?
I think in general, I mean, what I'm most concerned with is this government shutdown looming on March 1st and March 8th. You know, we're probably going to have to do a continuing resolution again, but we need to do that, not play the games and not bring us to the brink. Every time we do this, we hurt our nation's full faith and credit. So, you know, honestly, just I wish we could have a more honest conversation about what we need to do as a Congress rather than what we've been doing. And that would have a significant impact.
Representative Pocan, thank you for joining us.
Sure. Thank you.
Mark Pocan, Democratic representative from Wisconsin's 2nd Congressional District. Morning show on the Ideas Network.